Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bishop.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point. Been quite a summer. And we're back, told you we would be. And, I have to admit, I've been a little neglectful of my broadcast partner, so I've worked up a little conjuring to hopefully kind of bring her back and smooth things over. here goes. Mermaid, mermaid by the sea, won't you come talk Caps hockey with me?
Oh, gladly. Hello, Gil.
There you are.
I'm back.
Okay. Yes, sorry I had to do that, but I wanted to do a little something special for our reunion since we really haven't gotten with each other too much over the summer.
We haven't gotten with each other
in a while.
Let's just keep it straight. Yeah. It's been a while, but that's okay. We still kept in touch, but not as often.
True.
It's all good.
Yeah, so been quite a summer, of course. The first one celebrating the Cup coming to D.C. Of course, there was the parade and other things, but when we last left you, we were going to take some time off until about training camp, and training camp is here, and boy, is it here. We'll talk more about that later. But first, I thought we would kind of go over what these past few weeks have been like for us and what we've gotten done and accomplished.
Okay.
So,
you want me to go first?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so my first majority, 90% of the summer, I was on the pool deck, either at a swim meet, helping in a swim meet, or swimming myself. And then I spent a week with the family in South Carolina, outside of Myrtle Beach, which is awesome. We hadn't been there before. And now, of course, I don't know how it looks after the devastating hurricane that just blew through there.
Well,
my God.
Before you get into that, let me just stop you there. Guys, if you're having images in your head right now of my co-host, stop it. Stop the drooling right now.
Pretty sure there's maybe one.
Get a hold
one.
Of yourselves, or better yet, get a hold of yourselves after we're done here.
Gross.
If it helps, but
yeah, ew.
Yeah.
Anyways, I wish I had that influence on people, but not so much. Anyway, so that was it. It was relaxing. This is the first time I've had to go back to school like mid-August, so it was kind of a short summer, but overall it was good. And then I do recall we left you kind of a little boo-hooing moment of having a boring summer. Until 2 weekends ago.
That is true. Yeah, I'm not a big world class traveler or anything. So it was more doing the jobs, getting work done, bitching at my employers, blah blah blah, and just whenever I had free time, feeding my head and drinking beers and that kind of a thing. Until about 2 weeks ago, as you said. Now, for those, I don't know if I've ever announced this. I might have,
a long
time ago, but I'll say it again. I am an ordained minister with AmericanMarriageMinistries.com, and I'm licensed to perform marriages anywhere. About 10 months ago, two of my dear friends that I used to work with asked me to perform their wedding, which was about 2 weeks ago, at their house. And I just want to say that I would not have traded that experience for anything. I had a complete and total blast. It was, without a doubt, within recent memory, one of the most worthwhile things I've done in a long time. And yeah, it was a great experience. I wouldn't have traded it for the world.
Did you sing?
No. Nor was I asked to. I would have if I was asked to, but no, I was not asked to do that.
Impressions?
Nothing like that. But I did kind of spice things up a bit. My two friends.
Did you go commando?
No, I did not.
Kill.
That it wasn't that kind of a wedding.
Damn. All right.
I did kind of spice things up because my two friends are big sci-fi fans, especially Doctor Who. So what I did was I came to the wedding dressed as, well, I didn't come to the wedding dressed, but I did the officiating dressed as the 11th Doctor Who. Complete with tweed jacket, red suspenders, and the bow tie. So
I have no idea what you're talking about. So
yeah, if you don't follow the series, then yeah, you wouldn't. But
yeah, but that's what they wanted. So hats off to them.
Well, actually, I volunteered, and when I mentioned that, they were like, "Yeah, go for it." and so yeah,
why do you have red suspenders and a red bow tie?
Well, because that's the outfit. That's
no, but I mean, like, why did you own that before?
I didn't.
Oh, okay. So this wasn't like, oh, I happen to have these things in my closet.
No, nothing, okay. Nothing like that. But yeah, that's how I was dressed, and okay. A lot of course, the bride and the groom and all of the guests that came got a big kick out of that. And it largely went off without a hitch, a little bit of a delay. Thank goodness the weather. You were talking about the hurricane that came through after you were in South Carolina. By the time of this thing, the hurricane was threatening, but never really got to us. Thank God. So the weather was a little bit humid, but otherwise just fine, and it was just a grand time. And hopefully we made a new fan of the podcast.
I love new fans.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best person, of the groom, young lady, I was working with there at the ceremony, and as we were cleaning up afterward, I saw this badass Weagle tattoo on her arm, and I noticed it. I looked at her and I told her, "Oh yeah, you're a fan, aren't you?" She said, yeah, go Caps. And I said, "Well."
I hope she was more enthusiastic than that.
Oh well, it was late. We were winded, and we were tired as hell. We'd given this thing our all.
Okay.
Yeah, no, she was really into it, and I said, a friend of mine do a Caps podcast, and I had her pull it up on her phone. She saw it, she's linked it up, and so hopefully she's listening now, as we're recording this and posting this. So yeah, so
pimping out the show at a wedding, I'm impressed.
Well, hey, you see a fan, right? Got to represent.
That's good. So, good for you.
Rebecca, if you're listening, glad to have you on board. I hope you enjoy everything, and hope we made another lifelong listener out of you.
I hope so.
So, yeah, it was great. I got to see some old friends that I hadn't seen in a while. I got to meet some of the family, the bride and groom, and everybody just had a blast. The cake was terrific.
I love weddings.
It was just a fantastic one of a kind experience, and I mean, I hope, I said on my personal Facebook page that I hope I'd found my calling. You know, it just felt like, something I was meant to do. And I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but maybe, it could turn into like a side job or something like that. I don't know. It's a possibility for the future, but it just felt like something I was meant to do. So
awesome.
I couldn't get over it. So that was the finale to my summer vacation.
Okay. Well, it ended on a good note.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. And awesome. Now we're a few days into fall, and as you might be able to hear in my voice, I have my usual fall cold. My body just so loves to be some sort of an alarm clock for when the damn seasons change. So if you hear that, hear a certain twinge in my voice, that would be why. So.
Yes, and if I sound tired, it is because I had the stomach flu, or excuse me, food poisoning yesterday.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, that was quite the image. Let's just say it's cruel. It's torture. It's not okay. Ever to have to go through that. But speaking of marriages, so I will say, if we ever have to, like, if I was ever asked, and I mean I have been asked things about like marriage and how do you know and your soulmate and blah blah, and it's like, yeah, there's lots of things that you're gonna know, like sense of humor, you're attracted, you got great chemistry everywhere. All that kind of stuff. But it really boils down to you and your significant other, either you or that person gets a stomach flu or food poisoning, and you can look at that person as they're going through it and be like, I got your back. I'm here. What do you need? Like clean clothes. For me, I need a wet washcloth. It's like from your childhood, like for some reason, that's like the cure all. I'm like, it has to be cold. And it makes you just feel better, even though you've got things pouring out of you and it's not okay and it's so painful. But I will tell you, that to me is what makes relationships last, when you can be with that person, like, you know, be with that person, see them at their worst, and still be like, yep, they're mine. I love them.
Okay, we're talking soulmates. I would be like, yeah, a true soulmate would be like, I don't just have your back. I got mopping a bucket behind you, cleaning up what came out of you, and I'm still sleeping in the same bed with you.
Right.
There's
exactly.
Your soulmate.
Yeah, exactly. And then there becomes a point where after a couple of days, I'm like, seriously, I'm kind of done. I need you to get better. Totally kidding. But yeah, I think that to me is it's a true test of a relationship, is like who can look at you when all of that is going on and you're having like the true exorcist moment, and
ooh,
they're like, hey, what can I get you?
There's a reference.
Right? Yeah. But there are two, like, there's just sides where you're just like, I'm going to die. But I pulled through, and I had to go back to school today, and it was fun.
Glad to hear you. You were under the weather for a little while there.
Yeah, well, last week I had probably what you have right now. I get that. I usually get bronchitis or strep within the first month of teaching, like clockwork, and luckily I, knock on wood, skated past that and just had just a terrible head cold. That would have been really annoying to listen to on air, because like some people can have a head cold and sound, have that like deep, raspy, sexy voice. And some people you're like, God, go blow your nose. That's probably what I sounded like. I'm like, I'm not going to put anybody through that. I don't even want to listen to myself. So now I'm just, you know, I've got parts of my body that hurt from the experience of this food poisoning, but, I'm all good. I'm good. I'm so glad to be back. I feel like we need to have I should have gotten you an anniversary card or something.
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know. let me do some quick checking here, but I don't know that we've actually hit the one-year mark yet. I think we did our first show was like in October, if I think about it. I'll come back to it. But
like you don't have it on your calendar?
Well, not quite. I'm looking for the dates on the podcast app, and of course they don't go far enough back because they only show so much.
True, but I think you're right. I think it was in August. In October. And then I'm thinking we're getting there. There's not going to be I'll have to maybe think of my own anniversary card because there's certainly not going to be anything out there that's appropriate.
Yeah. So speaking of inappropriate,
yes.
What was your favorite Caps Cup Day with the Cup celebration?
Oh, there were so many, but I'm gonna have to go with the two that stick out in my mind as the ones that just made me smile was in Toronto with Tommy, because of that super special moment he had with his grandfather. And he was wearing Tommy's jersey. Oh, it was the sweetest. And I loved, and I said this before, no one could help me out, but his friends designed that really cool 43 shirt, whatever. Well, I can't remember it now. And I was like, God, I need one of those. And I never heard from anybody. But anyways, I loved that shirt. And then my other one, I just love to see Jay Beagle. I have three. Jay Beagle, because he was, you know, in front of his truck, he's humble, nice guy, just everything about him. I love to see him being sent to another team those memories. That was okay. And then I will say my last one is definitely Holtby, because his pictures, aside from being goddamn sexy with his guitar and all that stuff, Jesus. He just that hometown vibe, you know, he kept it very much like you would think of his personality. It doesn't seem like he's this big partier and whatnot. Maybe he is. I don't know. But I just thoroughly enjoyed how much the players brought it back to their homes and to the families and to the fans and to the community. I just think that, to me, that was great to see. And I mean, there were some that were a little over the top. I think we, you know, Orloff and the fireworks. But I'm like, well, shit, if I won the Stanley Cup, I might, I don't know, want a marching band or something. I don't know what I'd want. But I'd want something really, you know, like, would I want something like that or a little bit, you know, something more mellow? But I think those are the three that stood out as, you know, genuine Stanley Cup family moments.
Okay, yeah, that's that works for me. But you mentioned Tom Wilson and what he did. Did you see what they put in the cup and what they ate out of the cup?
What Tom Wilson ate out of the cup?
Well, him and the kids that he had with him.
Oh yeah, yeah, Lucky Charms.
Yeah, Lucky Charms cereal.
Yes.
So yeah, that stuff's been around like, forever. So
are you a fan?
I mean, I was when I kid. I don't eat. When I was a kid, I don't eat as much cereal now.
Yeah.
But you know, you remember those commercials on TV?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
I'm sure you saw them as a kid. Mm-hmm. And when you see them as a kid, you don't think a whole lot of them at the time because
he's creepy.
Yeah, it's your favorite cereal. But when you're an adult and you get some actual free time and you overthink things like I do, because I'm a bit OCD, think about it. You got these kids; they're running around chasing after a leprechaun who mm-hmm. doesn't have a pot of gold. He has a box of cereal. Okay, and you got to think of the mindset of that character, that guy. He's got to be thinking something like, "Fifth and begotten of these kids that running around after me cereal, and they call me Lucky.
Stop.
My name is not Lucky. It's Seamus. Why can't they even call me by my right name? It's Seamus. It's not Lucky. And nobody in all of Ireland, the name of Loki.
Are you done?
I don't know, am I?
Yes. Please.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, you know what?
Now would be the time for some F-bombs.
Fuck yes. Please fucking stop. I'm just kidding. No, it's too, okay, you got your, we hadn't, you know what, I will admit, the second half of our podcast season, we didn't have a whole lot of impressions. Well, because I said no so many times, but that's okay. So now you started off, and we did one for today. Do you have any more?
No. And
you sure?
Yeah. So like, okay. And I'm saying no, and I mean it.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's like, no, 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 stop. Or like, no, haha, it's funny. You're
little,
saying no.
A little of both.
A little of both. Okay. Well, then I look forward.
I'm saying no, but I'm leaning towards yes.
Yes, I understand. And now I think all of the podcast world, or at least the Power Play Point podcast people, are all going to wonder, who is Gil going to imitate on the team now that Chason is not with us?
Yes, our favorite Frenchman has long since departed.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be it's nice that you brought that up. I've got to think of somebody to replace him with. I don't know.
You really don't. You might have just been so stellar with Chason that he can't be replaced.
Oh, you
just
wish.
A thought.
You wish.
I know. I did. I had like a single tear where I'm like, oh, Chason. Oh, but Gil and his impression.
Well, there would be no need. Oh, boy. Sorry. There would be no need for the an annoyance meter if we didn't have something like that in the works. So
that's true. That's true.
There's going to be something. I'll work something out, I'm sure.
Can't wait.
I'm sure you can't.
Because I don't do anything to annoy you. So I'm like, so I put it out there that things, this goes for anybody. I told you my husband does impressions, and he intentionally does it because he knows how annoying it is. And so he does it. So impressions and whistling, there's just certain things that just get under my skin. So not that that's, you know, fueled with fire or anything, and just let you know.
I should hope not.
Okay.
Okay. Well, speaking of fire, more specifically, dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm.
How about this preseason?
Blows.
Like a whale.
But
in
I will
the sea.
Say, I will say, I never put a lot into preseason because, and I spoke with my friend about this a couple of days ago as we were, you know, going back and forth on Sunday football and whatnot. Preseason, any sport, is boring as fuck. I can't, because you're going to have one of two things happen. Everyone is going to put all of their eggs in one basket, or however you want to say it, and focus solely on this one player who, in the first game, in whatever sport it is, you know, torn ACL, broken whatever, you know, jammed thumb, whatever it is, and like then suddenly they're out for the season and it's like, oh crap, what do we do? Then you, if that doesn't happen, then you have all these fans that think they know so much who think, I can't possibly support my team and be a fan if they play crappy in preseason because this is just exactly what's to come. And that's the kind of crap I like. I hate it on social media. I don't get into the preseason stuff. So for me, watching, I watched one preseason game. I watched Hobbs score. That was probably the only person that I will say stood out. I haven't been impressed with anybody else. And I will say, I thought that I'm hoping that what we were seeing from that players on the ice was just cautious plane to avoid injury versus them just looking damn sluggish because it was a summer of partying, Devontae Smith-Pelly, and
we'll touch on that.
Yeah.
What I saw was maybe some of that plus, I'm out here and I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
More or less. So you mentioned Hobbs. Up until he scored that goal, I wasn't really impressed with him. But a guy I was impressed with, from what I saw anyway, was Riley Barber. The two games I saw him in, he showed me some desire. He was skating hard. He was going to the net. I'm pretty sure he had at least one goal, one assist, and he looked pretty sharp to me. He was out there feeling it, really wanted.
But this is what, second or third season that we've been in the same preseason with his name on the roster.
True.
If you're not going to step up now, be done. Because there's no reason. There's no reason. Maybe your first season, a couple years ago, you were too young. You were, shot. Who knows what it was? You just were not ready for the NHL. But now you've been through all of this two or three times now. You better, man the fuck up. Like, there's no reason not to. So I feel like Hobbs and Riley, like, those are going to be two to watch. We've talked about Liam before, O'Brien, Yep. I hope he does something more permanent. But what happens is, we keep hearing the same names, and I'm like, God, come on. Like, but I will say there was not one standout rookie, newbie, whatever you want to call it, this year. Within the last preseason games that has stood out. Like, that just kind of blew everybody away.
No, and that's absolutely true. And Coach Reardon has said as much he's disappointed in that none of the rookies, none of the newer guys are stepping up at all, or at least making themselves a standout at all.
Which is absolutely insane because if you are, however young you, some of these kids are 17, 18, whatever, they've been doing this for as long as possible, 15 years, maybe they've been skating, and you now are having an opportunity to be on the ice with the Stanley Cup champions. Wouldn't you go balls out and give it 110%
right.
to say, I've got what it takes to be on this team, and yeah. I've got what it takes to, hopefully win again and in the future and earn my position? I don't see why you wouldn't give it your all.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And it's just more than a little disappointing, very frustrating that these guys are playing like walking, skating grease fire right now. And
yeah,
just I don't know. And I don't want to. I mentioned Connor Hobbs before. I don't want to point the finger at too many other guys, but I mean, one in particular, Madison Bowie. I'm sorry. I'm still all kinds of disappointed in him. He looked like he was skating in mud. I had so much hope for him last year, and he just turned out to be just absolutely disastrous. And I don't know. The missus is unpacking dinner.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I couldn't. No, it's fine. I couldn't tell what you were doing.
She says you're fine. So we'll just have to mark tape here, and
it'll
be my one edit moment. I wish he could have done better, but he's still not showing me anything at all like the promise that we had for him last year. So maybe two-way duty, maybe we keep him as a 7th D, I don't know, but he's got to start showing me something, or else he's going to start being trade bait.
True. But again, preseason, I don't feel like they're, I don't think anyone that we're familiar with is giving 100%, because I don't think anybody wants to risk injury. You know, Wilson's a huge target. I mean, come on, like everyone is all over his ass. I don't know. I just feel like preseason, I'm done. I wish they'd start the season earlier. Normally
I would not have paid as much attention to preseason either, but I figured this year, okay, well, you know, they're the defending champs, and the younger guys coming up will not only get a good experience, but a lot of these guys we're actually going to see on the team in the coming years, because you've got contracts expiring. Got a few players will be retiring soon. Guys that will have outlived their usefulness, and that kind of a thing. So probably a good idea, I thought anyway, to get to know a lot of these newer faces now. Now that they're in the pipeline, the goalie situation in particular will be a point of interest this year, for example. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't know how much more I can do, because it was just absolutely painful. But if there is a silver lining to all this, as I like to find, it's the fact that, and my friend Doug pointed this out in the True Caps fans room, give them a quick shout. He said something, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he said something along the lines of that he has been observing the way this team is playing, and better that they play like this right now instead of heading to the regular season with a bunch of false confidence. And then,
absolutely.
And then dying a quick death there.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I mean, I don't, just because they're not giving 100% say in the preseason game, like I said before, I feel like it's, you know, being cautious because of injury or to avoid injury. I also feel like it is also giving the Backstroms and the Kuzis and the Ovechkins and whatnot an opportunity to see, okay, I'm out here, and who is making themselves available? Who is really, you know, who is someone that they're going to trust,
right,
you know, for, you know, passing, for whatever it is, whatever the circumstances. And I feel like it's just their opportunity to kind of, you know, they're, you know, these amazing players, and they are veterans, and they know everything about this game. And so you better believe when you're putting someone new out there, you're going to mesh with somebody and say, okay, you know what, this works so well. Like, here's a great duo, or here's a great, you know, or then you, or you've got the three on the line, and it's like, okay, do these three go? What happens if we put so-and-so, you know, it's like all that kind of stuff. So I feel like they're kind of holding back a little bit just to kind of see who they're going to mesh with. So.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense to me. Hopefully, they find that needle in a haystack that turns into the combination of the future. But right now, yeah, not seeing it. A whole lot of it. So I'm kind of gonna take the what is that? You watch your kid try something for the first time, but you kind of, you don't be a helicopter parent, but you're watch from 10 feet away or something like that. I think I'm going to take that approach from here on out.
Yeah.
Because if I had to sit through something the Montreal game again.
But you also, it's, you
I
know,
think I'm going to be right there with you with the food poisoning.
Ugh, gross. If hockey season was like, say, football season, when there's only, you know, 16 games or, you know, that to, and they basically kind of know pretty much who's making the playoffs, who's wild card, who's that about halfway, you know, between, then it's like, oh my God, but you forget how many games, you know, or you don't forget, but it's like, you have to take into consideration how many games are in hockey season, you know? So it's like, if we're going to, like everything else, we're going to have the, you know, get Reardon's going to have some great moments, and then we're going to have some questionable what the fuck moments like we did with Trotz. And same thing with, you know, the goalies. For someone to have to go between the pipes and be compared to someone like Braden Holtby, like, you know, you have to have your confidence, yes, but you have to also have your skill right there. You know, there's no second guessing. And that's, you know, that may take a couple of games. Obviously, we've seen that in the preseason. We're losing 5-1 and things like that. It's like, you know, so it's going to be very important. But I think that people just need to not hit the panic button, not get, you know, so DC sports cursed bullshit, and just see what happens. See it all fall into place like it's supposed to, you know, just give it a chance. Like, it's September, like, we, you know, like, they won the Stanley Cup in June. It's a long season. Give it some time, have some faith, and, you know, don't be, yeah, just don't be negative going into it. There's no reason for it. But you're gonna go have your dinner, and you and I will talk next week about the big Boston Bruins game.
That we will. And just one final quick point. You mentioned the coach. I'm still a little skeptical about him, but this may actually turn out to be a good thing, in that he's facing a bit of adversity for the first time. So something, as I always say, something good that comes out of that is that you learn from it and you become better for it.
Right.
And so they're trying to figure out, okay, what's going to work? Who's going to be our top starters? Who's going to fit where? And that's his first task. And then steering him through what I always say is the toughest part, the first 10 games. But fortunately, they're going to have some road trips to bond and things like that. So I think early on, thank goodness, we're going to see how he handles things. And hopefully Coach Reardon comes out looking good on this, because if he can steer them through that first part of the uncertainty, the rest of the long season will go fairly well, I think.
I agree. Well, I like Reardon, so I thought it was a good move from the beginning, and I understand the hesitation, but I feel good about it. So I'm going to go with, you know, I'm going to support him. I think he knows what he's doing. He knows these he knows the vets. That's the most important thing, is he knows those guys and who is going to be able to play side by side with them. And, you know, if he's able to come forward and publicly say that no one has stood out, that says a lot.
That's true.
That says a lot, because that is humbling to those players who are like, oh shit. You know, like, maybe he's looking elsewhere. You know, maybe he's like, hey, listen, you didn't do this. So to me, that's, you know, that's tough, and that's coaching. And so that I respect. So that's kind of where I'm at. So I think it's a good move. I support him. I know you're kind of on the cusp a little bit, but that's okay.
Well, that's true. And
part of our show.
Yeah, that is. And one last point. It's this has been talked about, and we mentioned him earlier, but this has been talked about a bit, especially in RMNB, that's Russian Machine Never Breaks, for those of you new to the Caps. But one player in particular we have not seen this preseason, that being Devontae Smith-Pelly, because by his own admission, he is not in game shape, not in condition. You know, good on him to admit it again, but I mean, I'm sorry, you're on a prove it contract, basically 1 year, $1 million, and you come in like that, I get that what, in his words, he had a short summer, short turnaround, but that's just not good. That's not setting a good example, obviously.
I agree. It was absolutely disappointing. So, and you know, consequences, you know, who knows what it's going to take for him to realize, you know, because he did come forward. He didn't make excuses. You know, he basically, you know, hey, listen, you won the Stanley Cup and you go home and you're treated like a king and like a celebrity and it's all totally amazing. But you can't go from, you know, all these games, working out, you know, once or twice a day, traveling, games, whatever, to suddenly stopping and, you know, partying a little bit more and not working out and, you know, sleeping in and eating others, you know, whatever it is. He's not going to fall completely out of shape. It's not going to take long to get him back into shape. But are we ready to put him out there against Boston? No.
Well, yeah, and that's, speaking of that, you want to really send a message to both him and the rest of the team? Healthy scratch for that game. That's what you do.
Yeah, I agree.
And it just might have to be what it comes to.
Tell you to work out.
No.
Or to watch, you know, your calories, or to watch your drinking, or whatever it is. You're an adult, so come on. Like, don't get cocky. And I don't think he is. Like, I don't find him like an arrogant player. I never have. I admire that he took this 1 year and whatever else. I just don't want him to be like, you know, whatever. No. Show us the Smith Pelly that we saw on the ice this year. And in that game against, you know, there are the games against the Knights and the amazing things that you can do.
Yeah.
But don't take advantage of just because you, you know, Stanley Cup team and the champions.
Right.
And
don't rest on that. I mean,
right. Because, I mean, you and I spoke before that it's like, holy shit, Ovechkin and his Miami workouts.
Yeah.
And wherever he was, the guy was a beast. And you've got Wilson and his boxing and everything. I mean, Barkowski. Like, I mean, everybody was doing, even God, Vrana. They were all doing things to say, like, hey, listen, we may be home, Sweden, Czech Republic, Toronto, wherever it is, but we are finding ways to keep going. You know, it doesn't have to be on the ice. And so, you know, Smith Pelly, a little disappointed, still going to pull for you. But little humble pie. I agree with you, Gil. And the happy, or the scratch for Wednesday.
True, very true. And that's, yeah. And that, like I said, I would not be surprised if that were to happen. And I would support the coach if he decided to do that. I don't. It may not happen, more than likely, but I would very much support that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think this is a good place to wrap it up for our for what amounts to our preseason, because
right.
Next week will be season's eve, as the home opener, of course, as we mentioned, is against the Bruins, the banner raising, et cetera, on the 3rd, which is that Wednesday. So.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And that'll be great to watch. And so we'll be coming to you with more of an in-depth preview of the team from top to bottom and all the main positions and all that. So got more details for you hardcore fans of the Caps out there. Better and more in-depth analysis, I think. Anna, did you have any other, anything else you want to put out there? Any final thoughts?
Nope. All good.
Okay. Sounds great. So, all right. So for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that opinions are a lot like orifices. Everybody has about 5 or 6 of them. And nothing good ever comes out of them.
God. Gross.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.